You're listening to an IOE podcast,
powered by UCL Minds.
Welcome to the ECF staff room. I'm Elaine Long.
And I am Mark Quinn.
We are programme leaders for the UCL Early Career Teacher Development Programme. Why are we in the staff room? We are here because this is where the best professional learning conversations always take place. This is where problems can be aired bluntly and where solutions can be explored.
Over the course of this series, we will hear the voices of different colleagues as they come into the ECF staff room. We will hear from early career teachers themselves and from the mentors and induction tutors who support them. We will talk about all things ECF, the challenges and the joys. So why don't you enjoy a coffee with us, perhaps even grab a biscuit and sit down to half an hour of ECF staff room chat. Good morning, Kate. It's very kind of you to join us for this. We're talking about your role as a mentor, particularly on year two of our programme for the ECF. And as we all know, year two is all about practitioner inquiry, the whys and the wherefores. So my first question for you, Kate, is for you, what is practitioner inquiry?
I've thought about this long and hard, Mark, and considered different elements. And I think the thing that came through most of it for me, having done some of the mentor work so far, was that it's about the opportunity for the ECTs to sort of take the chance to develop their own practice and explore something in a little more detail that's sort of more relevant to their context, relevant to their cohort. And I think through doing the training from the ECT sort of side and reading the handbook, it's about that process that we're going through. And actually it's that opportunity to really step back and think and allow time to reflect and to research. And I think maybe something as more experienced teachers we've stopped doing and actually ask questions about our own practice and accept that there's not always a right way, that it's okay to stop midway and go, hang on a minute, I need to adapt and I need to make a tweak. And I think that's, for me, is the practitioner inquiry bit, is that opportunity to explore, to investigate all the data, not just the formative and summative bits that come through. But then the important bit for this process for me is that stopping, thinking and reevaluating where we go next.
That's right, sort of stopping and looking up.
So yeah,
to some extent. So with that in mind, why do you think that practitioner inquiry might be especially appropriate for ECTs in their second year? Because of course that's the choice that we've done on the UCL program. We've made this happen for ECTs in their second year. So why might that be particularly appropriate for them?
I think it's massively important. Having supported the same ECT through year one and year two, I think in year one there's such a wealth of information that comes to them, and there's so much knowledge that they learn and research that they find out about, that actually this second year is the opportunity for them to explore it within their own context. And for some, for example, my ECT in school, it's an opportunity to explore an area of interest as well. So she's found a particular interest in scaffolding and looking at that supporting of SEND, and actually it's the opportunity to take all her thinking from last year. So she's come to me and talked about, for example, group working, and said, right, how can I use the information that I had there to then pop it into practice within my own context for this specific group? And I think for the ECTs that are in their second year, it's about that ownership. And through the mentor sessions, I know Elaine saw one that I did, it's been that opportunity for the ECTs to really grow in confidence and almost take some ownership over their own learning, as opposed to it being quite heavily structured through the ECF framework.
Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot now, because you talked about the questions that the topics that your ECT was particularly interested in. So can you tell us a little bit more about the question or questions your ECT did explore or is exploring? Yeah. And why and how did what process did you go through to get to those questions?
Yeah, in the first term we looked at the use of music for a particular group of children and how music could be explored to support them with their thinking, mainly because she wanted to look at that sensory side and for SEND. And I think she needed to explore that initially and recognise that it was a little bit overwhelming for the group. And actually we took that, and I allowed her to do it, to take her through the process, to sort of recognise that she'd got to sort of develop a more defined question and use the small steps that were there. So we've now sort of redefined her question, redefined her thinking, and we've gone back to looking at actually what scaffolding looks like, because she's found this is a really good avenue this year for this group of children. And we're looking at what scaffolding looks like for just four children when they're doing writing over a shorter period. And I think I had to allow her that opportunity to almost explore a question she felt was relevant, to then realise actually she'd gone way too far, and that the inquiry could be much more narrow, could be much more focused. And actually I bumped into her yesterday in the corridor, and she went, I get it now, I see what you did. And I was like, yeah, I wasn't being cruel when I said, well, you go, come back to me and talk to me about it. And she said, now, sort of, this is our first week back. And she said, I've already planned different bits, and I've used not only what I'm doing in my inquiry for my writing, but I've used it elements in my geography session as well. So I can see now how I can make the links between learning.
That's amazing, actually. And it's just lovely to hear you use the word we so often, because we do invite, as you know, mentors and ECTs to collaborate a little bit more in this year. All the way through the materials, we gently suggest to mentors that they might want the different ways that they might collaborate with their ECT, being fully mindful of the pressures that mentors are on in their school and all the other roles that they have within their school. And so we don't make it a, you know, an absolute thing that they must do. So can you say a few words, maybe more, Kate, about how you've supported your ECT and perhaps how you've engaged with them a little bit with their inquiry?
Yeah, so we do regular catch-ups and regular meetings where the ECT and I sort of touch base. She has moved into a new year group this year. She's moved up to year five. And I think we had to initially establish that all that learning she'd done in the first year could be used in the second year. And a big point of support for this year is about reflecting her back and taking her back. She's a really reflective practitioner, which is fabulous, but it's about using the materials that were there and saying to her, come on now, do you remember we did this and we looked at this research barrier, research summary on barriers to learning? And she'd say, yeah, yeah. I'd say, come on, let's go get it. It's not a big piece. Let's just read it together again. Let's refocus. Let's reset. I'm not asking you to go and read a massive book. And I think it's been that little touch base that she's needed. But she's also working again alongside a very dynamic and very experienced maths lead. So I've sort of done a bit of double edge and said, he's amazing, and said to him, look, she doesn't need you to mentor her this year. What she needs is she needs to learn to find her own voice. And I've just talked about, look, all these sessions we've done, we step forward, we step back, come on, you're going to now do this alongside your experienced co-partner that you've got here. And initially she found that really hard, and I'd say to him, I need you to step back now and let her find her voice a bit. And now as we've gone through what a term and a half, it's been lovely to watch them sort of complement each other. And she's still very quiet, but within their pairing she's found that confidence to say, I think I've got something for that. And for me, that's been a real big turning point for her. And she's now saying, Tim, I've got something you could read about that, if that's any help. And for me, that's been fabulous, because she's sharing that learning now. So the next step will be to get her to do it wider than that, as she takes on sort of subject leadership responsibility and things like that.
That's brings joy to my heart, Kate, to hear you describe it in that way. We said all along with this program that obviously it's really important, an ECF program, to help retain teachers in the classroom. But we also firmly believe that the best way of doing that is to let these new teachers see how they do have autonomy in their own classrooms, how they can grow, how they can, as you said, find their own voice, because they're more likely to stay if they feel that we know that teaching is such a hard job. They put so many hours into it, but teachers will put those hours into a job that they feel has meaning and that they, you know, that they have some autonomy over. And it's extraordinary to hear you, you know, phrase it in the way you have. So maybe you feel you've already answered the question, Kate, but maybe in a nutshell, or in sort of higher level terms, can you say what you and maybe particularly your ECT have learned from this process of inquiry in the second year?
I think it's probably reminded me of all the things I used to really enjoy about being a classroom teacher, and that opportunity. It's that asking. And the opportunity to stop. I think with new curriculums that we've brought in place, and with catching up from COVID and everything that comes in, it's really the inquiry sort of approach has given me the opportunity to step back, alongside the ECT and say, let's just stop. Let's stop. Let's question what we're doing. Let's look at the research again and say, where can we find something that will guide us on this? And let's look at a really small next step, as opposed to saying it's a bought-in approach, it's this, it's just a small next step that we can implement. And also the opportunity to do it frequently and not sort of think, I've got to commit to this to a year. We've put ourselves in almost little milestones and said, right, it was half term last week, we did a checkpoint there, we'll do another checkpoint at this point, so that it's not carrying on for carrying on's sake.
Yeah, it's nice to hear you talk about that rhythm that you've built into it, so that your ECT knows that you will be returning to this, that there is that they'll get support at different times. Obviously, the support that they get in the second year is continuous, but not as frequent, because obviously they've got more time face to face in the classroom. I think you said so much about the difference that the inquirers have made to your ECT. Maybe there's something more you want to add to that. But I'd also be really interested to hear, Kate, what difference this has made to you as a mentor on this program, given that you are an experienced teacher already, given that you already have other roles within your school and beyond your school. You know, even in some modest way, how has this process made a difference to you?
Yeah, I think for the ECT in school, it's developed her confidence. And like I said earlier, I think it's allowed her to find a voice and recognise that she's not the ECT anymore. She's not the new teacher. She's a fully established member of staff. And actually, she's got her own little thing to bring now. And she's got ownership of that element and she controls it. And she can share that finding with a year group partner. So I think for me, her biggest learning points are her confidence within herself and to give her a real exact focus on what she's working on and what she wants to get better at. For me as a mentor, I think it slowed me down a little bit. I'm quite notorious for working at 100 miles an hour. I know that. I know that's probably my own fault. But actually, it's meant that I've stopped and I've reflected and I've had to slow my thinking down and think, well, actually, what difference will this make to the children? But also, so it's working for my ECT, but actually, what can I take away from this practitioner inquiry to not just make me stop and think about anything I introduce, but for example, for subject leaders across school, I've talked to my head about, is there any way we can use some of this thinking here to make them think at a deeper level so that they understand that process and those stop points and that questioning as well? And I think as a mentor, it's possibly made me delve into her practice a little bit more and also reflect on what I would have done and what she does and opened up that conversation, because I think having been an NQT mentor a while ago, this practitioner inquiry, I've unpicked it alongside her. So she'll come to me and share the data and share the findings and share her thinking. And I think it's meant that I've had to put myself in her shoes and really reflect on a different level and sort of think from two different angles. So it's been really interesting to do.
I think you've given us a definition there almost, Kate, of what it means to be an educative mentor, to you know, work alongside, as you say, sometimes walk in the shoes of your ECT and they in yours, I guess. So thank you so much for that. Also, you tantalizing us with examples of how inquiry might be spreading to other parts of your school as well. You may well work in a place where that's a normal thing. You know, lots of schools do use practitioner inquiry as part of the professional learning program. It's not the case in every school, but we do hope at least that by sort of dropping this little pebble into the pond of your schools, that the ripples might reverberate outwards. Kate, it's been lovely talking to you, and thank you so much for the work that you put into your mentoring and the other roles that you perform for us on the ECF program, and goodbye.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
So I'm going to touch you a little bit now, Kate, about your role as a facilitator. It's been so inspiring listening to you talk about your role as a mentor, particularly the fact that you reference voice and enjoyment and autonomy, because I know when Mark set out to write the programme, they were some of the ambitions that he had for our ECT. So if I can ask you, I know you wear about 20 different hats, but if I can ask you now to take off your mentor hat and put on your facilitator hat, I'm just going to ask you some questions about that. And my first question is, how did you support other mentors working with ECTs on practitioner inquiry?
I think it's through using the resources from the UCL ECF and using the Extend. And I think by doing the sort of more online community, obviously Lane, you observed one, it was that opportunity not for me to be the one that was the font of all knowledge, but actually that opportunity to professionals to sort of collaborate together and share thinking. And I know in my last session that we had that one of the ladies stepped forward and offered a bit of guidance to a different lady because she'd got the expertise. So I think from a facilitator side, it's been the opportunity to almost talk them through the process so that they get that level of understanding as well. And because within my mentor group, I've got different levels of experience, I've been able to sort of adapt the process. So one person was really confident with the practitioner inquiry and understood how to break it down, how to structure a question. But then I'd got a couple of other mentors who just needed that guidance through. So it's sort of seeing it like you would children in your class, just accessing it at different levels, using the resources there. And the big thing that they've really taken from it is how to support their ECTs in school with how to formulate a question and how to actually look at the different elements that it means. And we had a bit of an aha moment the other week, and it was like, oh yeah, it needs to look like that. And I think when we popped it into a context that was primary relevant for us, and they could see the build up, and we did it almost step by step, so this bit first, then this bit, they felt that was really useful. And I think I've just been a bit of a touch point between, for example, the research school and sort of the mentors. I'm happy to share my email and just say, if you've got any questions, just pop them along. Or if there's anything that comes up, just let me know. So sort of shared anything that I found or just been a bit of a touch point. For example, if they've had maybe difficulties getting, for example, their ECT to engage, or they weren't sure of a line of inquiry for their ECT, I've just been that midpoint to just have a bit of a chat about it as somebody that's still in school and still got an ECT of my own.
So that's interesting. So your kind of support went beyond the session as well, and you opened yourself up to their questions. And what challenges did some of them have? You've already mentioned writing the question. Some people found that quite difficult, and some people might have found picking the right line of inquiry or supporting their ECTs to pick the right line of inquiry difficult. Could you elaborate a bit more on some of the challenges they had?
Yeah, I think as they've gone into the second year, we've had some challenges with actually, like we said, about formulating a particular inquiry that they wanted to follow. We've maybe had difficulties where one mentor's got two ECTs, and they might be, for example, in year one and one's in year five. And it's them recognising that the ECTs now have to lead this, and that they're not... I think as mentors, you hold on to your ECT so tight in that first year because you want them to succeed and you want them to do well. And I did say to them, I gave them the analogy and just said, it's a little bit like shoving a little bird off the edge of a cliff. Now let them flap because they'll be fine and they'll flap and they'll be all right. And she was like, but I'm in the middle. I was like, it's fine. Follow the process. Come back to the question. I said, and if you're stuck at any point, go back into that cycle and pop yourself back in it. So we've had that where we've had different ones. And I think you can imagine the natural thing of COVID's been a bit of an impact. How do I fit this in? How do I adapt that? And I've just said, look, we just touch points, we do what we can, and we recognise that we're at this point. I said, as long as you're following the materials that are there, I said, and you do it however you can. My ECT's been off. Sadly, she's had a week off. She was in poorly. And she just said to me, can I just give you a ring this week? Yeah, of course you can, not a problem. And I've said, you just have to adapt your practice a little bit, don't you? And not, you can't always take additional factors that are way out of your control to heart. So we've just had conversations like that about how best to meet everybody's needs so that nobody drowns in workload and everybody keeps going.
So that's almost a really important pastoral role you played there. Those little words of wisdom to people seem to have been really important. And I love the metaphor of the bird flying off the cliff, because I found that really interesting when you said, when you were talking about your mentoring, that you actually let your ECT maybe perhaps go a little bit wrong, but you felt that was important. And I think that's really significant, actually, that idea of it's important that they have the autonomy and they have the freedom to make mistakes, because that's really important as well. And the final question, obviously, we're really keen to take best practice from people like you that have done a phenomenal job of leading practitioner inquiry. We're really interested to know what advice you would give to people starting out on the journey next year.
Read the handbook. That it was the quickest 10 pages I've ever read. Read the handbook before you do anything else, before you dive into the slides or anything like that. Read your handbook. and really digest what it's saying to you, make sure that you feel confident with that, and then really think about your knowledge of a mentor and be prepared for it, that in the second year it is that shove as opposed to that hold. And if you can do that and attend the sessions, it all sort of fits into place.
So shove, not hold. I like that. I like that. That's definitely a good piece of advice. Thank you.
Our thanks go to Kate Atkin, the deputy head teacher at Balby Central Primary Academy, Doncaster, for sharing coffee with us this week in the ECF staff room.
Please do get in touch with us if you would like to chat about your ECF experience. In the meantime, do join us soon for a biscuit and a chat with another colleague in the ECF staff room.
Thanks so much for downloading and listening to this IOE podcast.